feel a great responsibility today. This is our 13th Easter that we've spent here at the church. And I just feel a great responsibility to preach the word today and to realize that some of you will see it today, we won't see you again, and there's a big responsibility that goes with that. I want everybody to know two things today. Number one is, Jesus is who he says he is. That's why we're here today. We didn't make this up, but he is who he says he is. Say that with me. He is who he says he is. And the second thing is, he will do what he says he's going to do. Say that with me. He will do what he says he's going to do. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word. Matthew 20, 19. Resurrection Sunday. Matthew verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus made many statements. How many of you believe that Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way today? You know, we focus a lot on the cross, and that's where our salvation took place. But the cross without the resurrection loses its steam. We serve a risen Christ who told us exactly who he was and exactly what he was going to do. And I know there's many different beliefs in the world today, but the only thing that matters is what you think about Jesus today. That's the only thing that matters. What did Jesus tell his disciples that were going to happen? He foretold his death, and he said, Matthew 20, 19, then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But, everybody say but, it says on the third day, somebody needs to get excited now, on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. I said he'll be raised from the dead. He'll be mocked, he'll be handed over, he'll be mocked, he'll be flogged, he'll be whipped. He'll be crucified, but on the third day, it's what we're celebrating today, he brings life, and death thought it had him in his grips, but the power of God was more powerful than any power that could be raised up against him. Satan thought he had his way, but on the third day, he rose from the dead. Did he do it or not? Well, how do we know? How do we know that he did it? The only way that we know that he did it was the scripture. Go to Luke 24:7. Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to Luke 24:1. Luke 24:1. Thank you, guys. Look at this. This is shouting stuff. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. And they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. I said they found that the stone had been rolled away. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of our Lord Jesus. I said they didn't find the body of our Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, you know, Jesus puzzles the world. They can't think. They don't believe that he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he said. And they walk around in puzzlement. Let me tell you today, I love you all, but there's only one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. His death on Calvary and his resurrection. It said they stood there puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. You know, the resurrection was probably pretty dazzling. And we're not talking about just somebody walking in the door. We're talking about somebody that was crucified and buried, a stone rolled across the front of the grave and a seal put on it and guards posted there. I got a feeling when the Spirit came into that tomb and started rearranging things, started changing the laws of physics and nature. It was pretty dazzling, Frank. It's something that we ought to get excited about, because he's raised from the dead, I also shall be raised. That's pretty dazzling. God does things and he shows off. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the man asked the angels, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee?" See, this is proof. "Remember what he told you back in Galilee, the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would what? That he would rise again on the third day." Well, he's doing what he said he would do. Go to Matthew 28:6. This is pretty exciting stuff. Can you get excited with me, or am I the only one excited today? Oh, boy. Let's go back a little bit. Verse 1, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake." Show off, God. Just show off. I said, show off, God. Just show off. "And the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint." Well, I guess so. "Then the angel spoke to the women, 'Don't be afraid.' He said, 'I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here.'" This is what I like. "He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen." He is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he will do. Well, let's look at another scripture just to prove all this. Go to Acts 4:10. Thank you guys for keeping up back there. I know I put you under the gun a lot, but Acts 4:10. Well, let's go back to verse 8. I like to read everything in context, because people say, you took that out of... No, it's not out of context. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people.'" See, what happened, the disciples... You know, they told this same story for 40 years and told the same story as they spread throughout the globe. Chuck Colson, how many of you remember the Watergate thing? He became a Christian. You know what he said? He said, "I'll tell you how I know that the resurrection is true. These same 12 guys proclaimed the same message for 40 years and never wavered, and they changed the whole world." He said, "We had 12 guys involved in Watergate, and it took us 3 weeks, and we couldn't all tell the same story." Well, look what it says here. "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene." Whoa! The man you crucified. But, everybody say but. "Whom God did what? Raise from the dead." We don't just need to preach the cross. We need to preach the resurrection also. Well, let's go down to verse 4:33, and let's read that. That's why we celebrate Resurrection Day. That's why we're happy today. That's why people come to church once a year, because they want part of this. And God wants you to get all of it. There's something special when we preach the resurrection. And look what it says in verse 33. "The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." And God's great blessing was upon them all. So when you share the death, burial, and resurrection, God will have a great power. There'll be a great power and a confidence that comes upon you as messengers of the Lord. So I'm going to go back to a couple more scriptures here in a minute. I wanted to know what the word resurrection really meant. And we've got a definition back there in the back. This is what the word resurrection means. Resurrection is the act of causing. This is what took place at the resurrection. This is powerful stuff. It's the act of causing something that has ended. See, they thought his life had ended, but they didn't bank on the resurrection. When something is resurrected, it's the act of causing something that has ended or been forgotten or lost to exist again. Think about that for a minute. That's what the resurrection, it causes something that has ended or been forgotten or lost to exist again and to be used again. That's what happened on resurrection day. The body of Christ was raised from the tomb. They thought it had ended. They wanted to forget him. They thought they were lost, but the power of God that came into that grave caused him to exist again and be used again. And how's he being used? We're being used right now because you've marched into his wonderful salvation today. He didn't stay in the tomb. He rose from the dead. His words can be used over and over and over because his words have life. It's not like some novel that was written and the book was closed on it. Every time you open, life comes forth. He's being used again and again and again. He's speaking again and again and again. Can somebody say amen? I'm preaching myself out up here. Wow. So now I want to go away from him and I want to come to us. If you're a Christian, you know this to be true. If you're an agnostic or an atheist and you're questioning things, I've already proved to you that it actually happened. So now what do we do with the resurrection? How does that apply to us? Well, when I was 27 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I was something that was real close to ending. Anybody else in here know about that? I was close to ending. Being forgotten. But above all, I was lost. So when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and believed what the Scripture said, I was resurrected. I went from something that was ended or being ended or forgotten. I was definitely lost. But when I accepted him as my Savior, he caused me to be born, what? Again. To exist again. Because without Jesus, there's no eternal life. So he caused me to be born again and to be used. Look at this. I'm preaching to a church with people in it. I was resurrected. Not only does he live that I live, but it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. So all of you were resurrected when you believed in him. Now, how many of you feel sometimes like you have nothing to offer? Any influence that you might have is over. People have forgotten about you. You feel lost. Just accept the truth of resurrection. As he was raised from the dead, you've been raised, as Romans says, to new life. You've been raised to new life. Why? So that you can exist again. How many of you got dreams in here today and promises that God has made to you? and the world, and sometimes other people have walked all over those dreams. You might feel like a doormat today, but God says you're nobody's doormat because he died for you. And because he died for you, you've been resurrected with him. And because he lives, you now live. And he wants you to get new life and exist again and be used. How many of you want to be used? Hallelujah. There's hope. You're not forgotten. You're not lost. Thank you, Lord. So what do you believe today? Do you believe what I just proved to you? Do you believe you've been resurrected? Do you believe you have another chance at life? I look around this room and I see people that God's given you another chance at life. He's given you a chance to be born again, to rise again, to have purpose in your life, to have some kind of victory in your life, to know that you exist, and other people to know that you exist and that you can be used because he wants to use every one of you. So what do we believe? Listen to this. If Jesus rose from the dead, we all in agreement with that? I'm going to show you why you must believe now. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. He didn't lie about rising from the dead, did he? Did he lie about being crucified? No. Did he lie about being raised from the dead? He didn't lie about nothing. And if he rose, you can take that down, Christian. Thank you. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to believe everything that he said. Because if you don't believe everything, then you don't believe that he was crucified, but especially you don't believe that he was resurrected. The Bible says that he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. What's intercession? He's praying for you right now, brother. He knows your name. He knows your issues. He knows your problems. He just wants you to cry out to him and realize, God, I exist because you exist. And I want you to use me. Use me in my family. Use me in my work. Use me, God. I'm not here just as a wanderer. So, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept everything he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then you don't have to worry about anything he said. Because once he lied, it's all a lie, but he never lied. He said who he was, and he did what he said he would do. So if he rose from the dead, you better believe everything he said. If you don't think he rose from the dead, then why worry about any of it? You still with me here? Wow. The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like what he said, but whether or not he rose from the dead. That's the issue. If you believe he rose from the dead, then listen to what he said. I think we've proved it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. Lazarus died. And he was very close to that family, Martha, Mary, Lazarus. And Lazarus died. Jesus tarried, and he was going to raise him from the dead. And they met him on the road as he was coming. And they said to him, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus purposely tarried and didn't come when he heard he was sick because he had something bigger in mind than what they could even comprehend. I believe that we've just barely scratched the surface on what salvation and resurrection means. God's got so much bigger in mind than we can even comprehend. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your way. But he did show up at the grave. And they said, Lord, if you'd been here, you could have healed him and none of this would have happened because he was healing everybody. But how do you know, he doesn't do everything the same way with all of us. I'm just glad he deals with me for who I am because he can't deal with me according to who you guys are. It doesn't work that way. That's why I need a personal Savior. But she said, and he said, don't you believe in the resurrection? This is before any of this happened. And she said, yes, I believe that one day when Messiah comes, the resurrection, you know what he did? He looked at her and he said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Put that thing back up there again. Christian, thank you. Oh, put that, what resurrection means. He said, I am the one that causes you to not be ended. Come on. Thank you, Jeff. I'm going to shake your hand. Give me that hand. There we go. He said, I am the resurrection. There is a resurrection and no other name. He said, I'm the one. I'm the one that can cause you not to be ended, to not be forgotten. He walked up to the tomb and he said, roll the stone away. And they said to him, Lord, he's been dead for a few days now and he stinks. Well, I'll tell you this. Before I came to the Lord, I was a stinker too. Say, I'm a stinker. How many stinkers we got in here? Look at all you stinkers. I don't want to offend anybody's religious spirit, but before we came to the Lord, we were just like Lazarus. We stunk. He said, I am the resurrection. You don't have a life that's ended because I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to do what? To prosper you and to give you a good outcome. I am the resurrection. I'll cause you not to be forgotten or lost. Why does it say lost in there? Because without him, we're lost. Salvation came in the cross, but grace and truth came through the man Jesus Christ. I'll cause you to exist again, and I'll cause you to be used again. You know what? He said, roll away the stone, and they protested just like we did before we accepted him and accepted his plan for our life. He knows everything about us. He knows when we stink. He knows when we smell good. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out of the tomb, still with his grave clothes all wrapped around him. He said, loose him, let him go. If we believe that he's the resurrection and the life, then he says to every one of us, loose him and let him go. Listen to me right now. If you're wrapped up in mental stuff and things are bothering you and you can't seem to see your way clear and everything is, listen, just believe in him and it'll be loose him and let him go. Lazarus went from death to life again and God started using him all over. See, the enemy hates life because the minute the Pharisees found out that Lazarus was raised from the dead, they wanted to kill him. I mean, what a present for being raised from the dead. People wanting to kill you. Think about that for a minute. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, though you die, yet shall you live. That's the promise of this day. I'm almost finished. Say amen. No, I don't have 2 hours. You need some more proof? Any more proof? Are you okay? I want you to get your mind clear today. Listen. Let all of our minds be clear today. He is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he will do. He loves you today. He loves you with an unfailing love. I want to share this last thing, and this is from the King James Version. Don't put it up yet, Christian, but it's going to be John 21. You know, a lot of things happen in life that we don't understand. This is in the King James, but I want to read the first part out of the New Living Translation. Jesus was risen from the dead, and then he appeared to over 500 people after he was raised from the dead. And he told the boys to go back to Galilee to go fishing, not to go fishing, but that's what they knew how to do. Be careful that you don't return to something that you've mastered. If God's calling you and challenging you, don't always live in what you've mastered. Said he was risen that we might have newness of life. And that has nothing to do with age. It has to do with what quality of life you have, newness of life. But look what it says later, chapter 21 and verse 1 in the New Living. And I'll just go to the King James and we'll read it there. Thank you, guys. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, in this way, showed himself. The British had a funny way with words, but he showed himself, okay? He showed himself. He wants to show himself to you. Next verse. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus. How many of you know about Thomas? Doubting Thomas? When Jesus first appeared to the disciples, he just showed up in the room, didn't open the door, he just showed up. You know, he shows up in our lives sometimes at unexpected times and comes in unexpected ways. Thomas, the boys told him, I hate to call the apostles the boys, but that was his gang, you know. Thomas, they said, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, he's appeared to us. And he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hand, the scar in his side, I won't believe. Well, guess what happened? Next meeting, they were at. Thomas was at. And Jesus appeared in the room again. And he said, come here, Thomas. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I mean, what more proof do we need, folks? He said, I want to show you something. See these scars in my hand here? Come and put your hand in my side. Come here. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said this, blessed are they who don't see and yet believe. How many of you believing? Everybody in here believing right now? All right. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus. What a name. I'd rather be called Thomas. Don't nobody name their kid Didymus. I won't baptize him. Oh, maybe it means somebody, Andrew, find out what Didymus means. I might be speaking out of turn here. And Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Go on, next verse. Simon Peter said, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Stop right there. A teenage boy lost his mom, but he was a believer. A lot of things happen in our lives that we don't understand. But he lost his mom, and he went to the funeral. And they ask him, he says, a grieving son was given the opportunity to write something, parting words, on a card at his mother's funeral. And you know what he wrote? The next verse. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. He's always there. He's always there. When the next day came, this is what a teenager that was shattered but believed. He said, the next day, Jesus was standing on the shore. I don't care where you are right now. This is a new day for you. Tomorrow's a new day. And Jesus is standing on the shore. You know, the teaching in this scripture says they fished all night and they didn't catch nothing. And this fellow standing on the shore who they couldn't see, he said, let down your nets on the other side. And they thought, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to let them down on the other side. They even said, we fished all night. Some of you might believe that you've been fishing for a long time and not caught nothing. But when you recognize what Jesus wants to do in your life, then you'll have a turnaround. And they let down their nets and they got so many fish that they couldn't even haul them in. Well, that's what happens. No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, Jesus will be standing on the shore of your life tomorrow morning just waiting for you. And you'll begin to live in victory. Amen? I could preach more, but better not. I got a video I want to show you about Resurrection Sunday. Jeremy, if you could bring your team real quick and get them up here real quick. Thank you. There we go. I like that. Real quick. If somebody could cut the lights for me. I want you to remember this. If you never remember nothing, he is who he says he is. And he'll do what he says he will do. I want to show you this video, and this is about Resurrection Sunday and who he is. And I want you to pay attention to this. This is power. And then after this video is over, if you just want to come up, I'd like to pray with you so that this will be a fresh day in your life. Not that I've got anything, but that he does. You've not been forgotten. You don't have to get lost. It's not over for you. You can live again, and you can be used again. Christian, if you could start that video, and Barry, thank you for turning it way up for me.